I'm Paul Irwin, and welcome to the Prose.com podcast, where we discuss everything translation and interpreting related, including how to get new clients, areas of specialization, technical skills, software localization, machine translation, diversification, and more. Prose.com, helping freelance translators and interpreters succeed. Hey there, Paul here. This is episode 51 of the Prose.com podcast. And today we have the fantastic Marco Hojan talking about entrepreneurship, quality assurance, and business growth. That's coming up in just a second. Don't forget to head on over to training.prose.com to check out our new workshops. We have this month, we have How to Overcome Perfectionism and Imposter Syndrome with Bettina Röhricht, and we have Editing and Proofreading with Karen Kaczyk. So those are two of the highlights, this month's highlights, but there are plenty of other workshops on the platform as well, and also self-paced courses that you can join at any time. Self-paced courses on transcreation, on voiceover, on how to get more clients, and many others. So that's training.prose.com. Right, time now for our interview with Marco Hojan. Marco is a CEO at Tire Translations Limited. He's a serial entrepreneur, an angel investor, a leadership and company culture enthusiast, a mentor, a Rotarian, and a sailor. Marco, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, great to be here and great to be talking about quality assurance today, a very important topic. But first of all, Marco, please tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got started in this industry.
Yeah, thank you. So firstly, I'm not from the industry. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I funded many companies, had two small exits, but otherwise, this is the first company where I'm in any way included in the translation industry. The whole idea came out of the language school, which is one of the companies that me and my partner, Mattia, that we are partners now in Taya, had before this, and we still have it. It's a local language school. It's the biggest language school here in the country. Otherwise, from there, the idea arose because we got first demands for translating because people were, or companies turned to us if we can translate something. And at the time, we opened a so-called traditional LSP or a translation agency. But we quickly found that competing against others is, at the end, only the price is the question. So we started to look for some pragmatic solutions, and we started Tire.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So one company was the language school. What was the other company, if I could?
So I was able to build the biggest nautical school in the Balkans. So it's a where people could get different nautical licenses, sailing school, etc. So we had offices in Ljubljana in Croatia, and thousands of people made licenses in my school, and I sold it because during the years, having a lot of companies have proved that I don't want to work in companies where you cannot exponentially scale. And with the nautical school, I found that as well. So that's why at one point I decided to sell it. Otherwise, I had a marketing agency. I had a company with that built electrical grids, etc. So, but now I'm fully invested in Tire because I see that this company can scale exponentially, not only locally, but globally.
Brilliant, brilliant. Okay, fascinating stuff. Okay, so then what happened is through your language school, you started to get inquiries about translation work, and that's what sort of started this whole journey into translation. Is that right?
Exactly.
Okay, perfect. So I can understand that. And then you mentioned going down the traditional LSP route.
Yes.
So again, I think lots of people have actually gone down a similar path in some ways, mm-hmm. of moving from a language school into translation in some form. And then you said just that bit that you said at the end there, and then you realized that the traditional
setup wasn't going to work for you, and therefore you have a non-traditional setup. So tell us a little bit about that, please.
Sure. So when we started, we didn't have any USPs where we could be better than others. Other USPs or even tech companies, as we call them now, within the translation field. So we said, we don't want to play this game. And at the time, since we consider ourselves as tech savvy, we started to discover different USPs that we can get through technology and just a bit a different business model. So firstly, we started to solve the USP of speed through automation. So firstly, that we made our own uploader. So for example, a customer could drag and drop a document, more than 60 file types supported, get an immediate analysis of the file in seconds, even with repetitions, and then get an immediate offer, choose the service and order, for example. So this, and then we added a lot of points of automation throughout the PM process and forward. And then we started to add other features and other USPs, mostly with technology, so that our customers would get a less painful experience when it comes to needing a translation service.
Okay, so it's all about efficiency through tech. Would that be?
Yes, that be fair? Is mostly the case, exactly.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. And how long have you been running that company for?
So the company started in 2017 as a traditional LSP. We needed about a year to figure out that this won't work. And then at the end of 2018, Taya was born. Taya is a platform, and we've been building it since then. So in 2018, we received a first, we call it a pre-angel investment. And in 2020, we received a pre-seed investment of 1.2 million at the time. So together 1.4 with all of the investments that helped us build Taya as a platform as it is today, and to help us grow for now mostly over Western Europe, but now we're focused actually globally.
Yeah, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, I love talking about growth and scaling. And I remember many years ago, I used to think that sort of 20% year-on-year growth was pretty good. And I guess it's not bad for a traditional business. But yeah, when you're dealing with a global marketplace and you have these tech efficiencies, I can understand that someone like you would be looking to scale much faster than that at a much higher rate. So have you seen significant growth since in the last 3 years, Marco? How's that
exactly
Worked out for you?
Yeah, we have, of course. So our growth is about 300% annually, which is something that we're sort of satisfied with because we're very ambitious. So we want to continue with this growth even when the company gets larger, and usually the growth gets a bit slower, but we want to continue with it because we see a big opportunity in the markets. Translation market is one of the most interesting ones. So we know the size, we know that it's bigger than the music industry, but far less sexy than the music industry, for example. And the change here, because of automation, because of machine translation, is so rapid. This wave of automation is really changing the market, killing a lot of vendors or LSPs that do not want to change, but at the same time opening so many opportunities for others that embrace change or embrace technology. And at the end, the customer will have all of the benefits.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah, thanks for that. That's immense, isn't it? 300% a year, that's immense growth. So yeah, congratulations on having achieved that. Right at the end there, Marco, you mentioned benefits for customers. So just talk me through a couple of those benefits, because I think that's important.
Mm-hmm. So from our side, as I mentioned, speed already. So it comes with automation. It starts with just receiving a quote for something that they need. Then secondly, Tai is a platform that offers a variety of different services. So, for example, when you come on the platform, firstly, we ask you, do you want to outsource your translations or do you want to do them yourself? So for example, one part of our platform enables you to upload different documents or order different translation services, choose your level of quality, choose the time where you need it, and just order. The other part is the part where we enable customers. This is another big trend that we see in the industry because of the TMs and MTs and all of the tech enabling it, that we give the power to the customer for them to translate on their own. So this is Catapult is one part of TAIA, which is sort of software as a service subscription based, where customers can just upload their documents, get them pre-MT translated, correct? So MT post edit them and download them in the same formatting. So this is the second part. And the third part that we're issuing soon is so-called machine translation as a professional service. So we know that in a few years, I don't know, this is 5, 10 years, we don't know, everything that we see here or even feel will be translated. So mostly by MT. And yeah. What is missing is the part where people need MT as a professional service where other services are surrounding it. So for example, you need a document MT translated, but you need formatting to stay intact. You want to empty post edit a document, but you want the computer to learn from your corrections. Or you're translating something, but you're not satisfied with quality and you can immediately order someone to review it and so on. So empty as a professional service. So I would say the second LSP is the variety of services all within one platform. The third thing that is becoming more and more important is safety of your documents. For example, sending files over email is something the least safe you can do. How this usually happens, you send a file to a translation agency, to an LSP. This file is being sent around different PMs, translators somewhere in Taiwan, working in their pajamas on an unsecured computer. Then all of these files stay in their email inboxes forever and can be exploited later in time. While with us using a secure platform all in one where translators can't even download the documents, they work in the cloud, the documents are not permanently saved and so on. So it adds a couple of layers of security at the end. So, and the last part, the part where what we're talking about now is of course, quality. All of that has to be embraced by quality, and quality is something where I think the industry was at least innovative. So quality is still very much embraced by very strict processes, ISO certificates, people mm-hmm. following rules, and translators following instructions.
Okay, brilliant. All right. Well, thanks for all of that, Marco. Mm-hmm. Let's really dive into quality mm-hmm. assurance, and let's start off by talking about what a client wants and how that perception might differ from the freelance translator side as well. So, I mean, I'm just going to give you a couple of ideas to start talking. I mean, one idea that I have is that the translator always believes that the client always wants the highest quality, which I don't think is necessarily the case. And of course, these are sweeping generalizations. They're not, they're just meant to get us talking, really. And the other one is this image that comes to mind of the good, fast, and cheap. So you can have something that's good and fast, but you can only have two of them. So you can have something that's good and fast, but not cheap. So this sort of trade-off between the speed, the quality, and the cost. And I mean, obviously quality is really important, but also price is often a factor. It's often seen as a factor, and then we have cost as well. So that's just a bit of a mumbled introduction from me, Marco. But what are you? Where do you want to start us off on this topic?
Sure. You gave me many ideas where to start. So what you mentioned is a very well known triangle where customer sometimes wants it all but cannot get it. So the first thing that I would touch upon is the ignorance of the customer, which is a big problem that all of the LSPs or other companies have. So there are a big percentage of customers, of buyers of translation products, unfortunately, does not have enough knowledge about what different products mean. Let me give you an example. Some, as you mentioned, some customers order a translation, for example, without proofreading, without revision, and so on, and they expect a perfect translation. What is even more problematic, that sometimes customer orders something that is called transcreation or something very similar, but they order a translation. So what we have to do, and what actually every translation company needs to do, is educate their customers. This is a big part of the process that unfortunately we need to do. And I'm sure that every company has a similar problem. So customers ordering something that they don't know what it is, or expecting something else what is offered. This is why we actually created a platform as is, because when a customer, for example, uploads a file, they can choose the level of the quality that they need. And this quality is very much explained there. So we have a toggle where a customer can choose five different quality ratios. So it all goes from MT to MT plus light review, where a translator just goes through and corrects the most obvious mistakes, to a translation plus revision, and then the NTP. So the customer chooses their quality, which is very rare in the industry. We were actually the first to introduce this. We give the power to the customer so that the customer sees that there are many options. And what we realized is that many times customers are not looking for top quality. So, for example, we had a case where they needed, because of their ISO certification, something translated from today till tomorrow, and no one wanted to take the job. But they only needed, for their ISO certification, they were in the automobile industry, they needed something translated, but it was not necessary to be high quality. So, for example, they could choose MT or MT Light Review, and it could be translated in one day. And then we had another case with a newspaper house where journalists didn't speak English, but they got thousands of articles from Reuters, where they only needed to read the abstract, and the abstract didn't need to be fully translated or high quality translated. It was just for them to understand the context, and then when they chose a specific article, then someone could translate that in full quality, for example. So there are many cases where customers do not need high quality, and vice versa, there are many cases where they want something else that they ordered, and again, they think it's a quality issue, but mostly it's a issue of ignorance of which translation products actually exist. We have one case where we have more and more cases where high quality isn't something that customers actually need. Then we have another case of customers ordering something that they don't know which products they can choose from, or what a translation actually is. What's the difference between translation, transcreation, or TEP, or so on?
So I was going to pick up on the point about client education, and and I think that's I think that's right that you point that out. But I'm a little bit concerned about that, because when you're, let's say, offering translation services, It's quite a task to educate your client at that point in time, isn't it?
And exactly, it is.
And I've heard from people who offer transcreation services, I think they perhaps go through a similar path, where they feel that, you know, a lot of education work is required. And I can see that. I'm just wondering, you know, how much work is that on top of all of the other processes that you already manage?
It's not so much work. It's a part of the process where a customer gets onboarded. So it really depends. Usually with bigger clients where they have their own localization managers or their translation departments, this is not the case. They understand what the difference is. This is mostly the case with SMEs, smaller companies or growing companies that are only setting up their translation needs or processes. They are the ones where they need some help with how it works, what's the difference between different services, etc.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And yeah, the differential, I think the differential pricing model is a very interesting one as well. And I'd like, you know, I'd like us to bring in the translators and to talk about it from their point of view as well in just a second. But if we have, for example, differential pricing, one of the things I've heard said quite a few times recently is that there's just simply too much content out there for translators to translate. So if we don't go down the MT route or the MT, I think you call it MT light in your company, then we're simply not going to be able to get through this volume. And I like the example you gave of that, you know, in the car industry that someone wanted something very quickly and that you were able to give them that solution. So I think, mm-hmm. I think differential pricing has a place. What would you say to freelance translators who might be struggling with this idea? And have you talked to translators specifically about it? Do you think a translator should be offering differential pricing as well?
Yes, why not? So firstly, what I see, there's a big, what is being felt is big fear of the MT within the translation community, but I don't think that is really necessary. It's very similar to an industrial revolution or anything else. So the translation market is changing, and of course a translator's profile, their job is changing, but that doesn't mean that they're going to stay jobless. That just means that they need to change the way they're operating. First, yeah. The first change that was the most obvious came from translating to MT post editing. That now is becoming a norm, but even that is going to change more and more. The post editing process is going to change to something more of a proofread transcreation and so on. So for example, a lot of opportunities are going to stay in the creative sphere, in the marketing sphere, in very technical spheres and so on. But which means that translators or vendors need to become a bit more entrepreneurial in a way that they need to change the way that they're offering their services with the environment itself. So,
yeah,
that means that, for example, charging differently or offering different services, not only translation, but for example, a light review of something or even empty post editing as a service is definitely something that translators aren't using enough as a niche opportunity.
I think there's a lot of translators out there that state from the beginning they simply don't like MT post editing. It's not for them and the rates are too low. I think that's something that I've heard quite a few times.
Exactly. But this has changed dramatically. So there was a lot of negative talk about MT post editing, but this has changed. I think the translation community has started to embrace this and they see now that this isn't a threat. It's something that they can actually get more out of. So they are now able to translate 4, 5, 6 times faster as they did before. And mm-hmm. with just positioning themselves in a right way, they can actually earn more than they did before.
Very, very interesting, Marco. And I can completely believe that. And I think there must be quite a few people out there doing this already. And so I suppose if you are a freelance translator listening to this, it might be something that you've shied away from or that you've sort of rejected in the past. Perhaps now might be the right time to at least have another look at what's going on with MT post editing.
Yeah. So of course it's not easy, and of course it changes your perception of things. So for example, traditional linguists, when speaking about quality, there were only a few ways how quality can be achieved. And for example, one of the things that they spoke about is the MT itself influences the way that you read it, the way that you change it, the way that you understand the text. So, and then the end output. But since this is inevitable, you need to find solutions here. So as the whole system changes to more and more freelancing jobs, to more and more entrepreneurial spirit that everyone needs to have, it's the same here. So even if a freelancer does not have this entrepreneurial spirit, I think the environment keeps changing so much that you need to have it. So there is no way out of it.
Yeah. So kind of look at new opportunities from a different perspective, basically. Yeah,
exactly.
Brilliant. Okay, excellent stuff, Marco. And let's talk specifically about a quality process. Let's take perhaps one of your quality processes. I'm imagining in the range of services, one of the higher priced translation services that you offer, or maybe the translation editing, proofreading, the complete, that's I believe the sort of highest tier. Mm-hmm. What would that include, or what do you think that should include in terms of a quality process?
Sure. So the process needs to be very well defined. The people in the process need to be onboarded, need to follow it. Otherwise, mistakes happen and they shouldn't. When it comes to TEP should be something that at the end is flawless, is something what was expected at the beginning. So for example, how our process looks like, when we get an order, the first very important part is the PM who gets the order. So there are a lot of things there, checking the document, checking for context mismatches. So for example, if you get an Excel sheet with 100 words needing to be translated for a web store, there is a big possibility of context not being understood, for example, because you have only words. So does buy mean buy, or does it mean purchase, or does it mean add to cart, and so on. So the first dam in this quality assurance process is the PM. And then, of course, choosing the right vendor with the vendor management, not only language combination, of course, the branch, the service category is even more important, and so on. So actually establishing the whole team from translator, editor, and proofreader. And then when it goes to one, from one to the other, the whole process, which is very much, it looks very much like a factory. So when we speak about translation services, we speak about terminologies that are used in the automotive industry. So for example, Lean, Six Sigma are similar or very similar processes, because we talk about sort of an assembly line that goes from PM to translator to revision to revisor to proofreader, and at the end the PM again. So all of these processes are very similar. And at the end, again, PM is, again, the final dam to assuring the translator, the translation quality, even though the PM is not a native speaker of the language of the target or the source language, they can do a lot. So, for example, using the quality assurance software, checking the changes that the revisor made or the proofreader made, and so on, and then just seeing if any of the text was lost, if any of the pictures were inside that had text, and so on. So each person in the process has a very important role. And the most important thing, this comes actually from Lean, is that each of the of the people within the process knows if a mistake will be made, that it will be very visible who made a mistake. Because this is something that they learned in Toyota in the 80s. If the process was like that, if a worker on the assembly line knew that their mistakes could be hidden within the assembly line, they would make mistakes. But if the mistakes are very clearly who made them, they become much more vigilant and responsible towards the job.
Brilliant. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Excellent. No, brilliant, Marco. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for talking to us about quality. I think we've packed quite a lot into this very uh, short short episode, but you've shared certainly a lot of insights on quality and on process, which I think are very important and something that is sometimes a little bit overlooked. So I'd just like to wrap up now by giving you the final word. If you just like to give us a few more details about your company, if there's anything that you're particularly looking for in terms of translators, in terms of partners, in terms of alliances, if there's just anything that you'd like to share in terms of quality or in terms of your company in general. And of course, please leave your details and your URL and so on if anyone would like to get in touch.
Okay, Paul, thank you. So maybe for the final word, what Taya is. Taya is a translation localization platform, mostly for businesses and organizations that need translations, which means mostly for growing companies. Our niche actually are SaaS companies, e-commerce, fintech, e-learning, and similar. But not only the platform, the integrations are also important. So either way, the thing that influences the whole industry the most is technology and the way that the business is done internationally. So again, which is again very much connected to tech when it comes to document translations or interpretations or anything else. The quantity of the content is rising exponentially, and it will keep on rising because it's very important for SEO optimizations, for exposure, etc. And we as Taya really want to be a part of this wave, as I explained before, not as someone who is being killed by the wave, but someone who surfs it. And we see machine translation in general as our partner, not as our rival. So, and we really want to send this message to other vendors to have the same attitude, so they can harvest the power of it, not see it as someone that it will take their job. So either way, we are expanding now in the Western Europe. Our main goal in the future years is the US market, because it's still the biggest market when it comes to translations. And of course, we're looking for strategic partners. We're looking for vendors, of course, for growing companies that are establishing their translation processes, for companies that need advanced tech support, because we have our own dev team. So very welcome to visit us at taya.io. Check out our platform. It's free to use. And that's it.
So that's taia.io. Is
exactly.
That correct?
Thank you.
taia.io. Brilliant. Brilliant. All right. Well, thank you so much, Marco. It's been great talking to you today. I wish you every success with your business for the years ahead. Sounds like you're doing fantastically well, that you're doing something different in the industry. And so, yeah, many congratulations for that. And thank you so much for your time today.
Paul, thanks for having me. I'm excited about 2022. So hope to see you soon or talk again.
Brilliant. Thanks very much. All the best. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
A big thank you to Marco for sharing such great value. He really has some brilliant insights into what's going on in the industry, the direction of the industry. And I'm very grateful that he was able to come on the show and share some of those with us. Don't forget to check out everything that's going on at training.pros.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. All the very best. And until next time, bye-bye.